We're going to commence our meeting by turning to hymn number 144, please. 144. Behold the Lamb with glory crowned. This is a lovely hymn about our blessed Saviour, and we want to worship him, adore him, and sing his praise from the heart. So 144 then, and we'll stand while we sing. We're going to bow together for prayer, conscious of our need of the Lord's help, praying that the Lord will presence himself amongst us and come down and be one of our number. Let us unite our hearts as we pray together. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we do rejoice that we can come into this place of worship tonight, the house of the Lord. And we bless thee, we can come to thy throne of grace and meet around that heavenly altar. We rejoice we have a great high priest in the person of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he is the mediator between God and man. And we come to thee in his name, rejoicing that we're accepted in the Beloved. We thank thee that we are redeemed by his precious blood, and that we stand upon redemption ground. And we praise thee, O God, that the blood was shed and will never lose its power. And we pray, Lord, that tonight it will indeed cleanse from all sin many of us in this meeting house. Lord, we have sinned. We have felt the pull of the world. We've realized our weakness. Lord, we recognize we have sinned in thy sight. But we thank thee if we confess our sin, that faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank thee, our God, tonight for the grace of God in Christ. We're reconciled to thee through him, through the blood of his cross, and we thank thee that tonight we are in Christ Jesus. O God, our Father, remember us now as we meet together as a congregation. We think of each one who's bowed in thy presence. Lord, thou dost know those that are thine, and thou dost know those who are strangers to thy grace. O Lord, we pray that thou have mercy. Come down and minister to that needy soul. Lord, show that one his or her need of Christ. And Lord, disturb them in their slumber of death and awaken them to see their need and help them to call upon the Lord and to trust thee for salvation. Lord, we pray for any who may be backslidden. Lord, it's easy to backslide. We confess that. We're prone to leave the God we love. But we thank thee for that call which brings us back again and restores us to thyself. And Lord, we pray that tonight backsliders will be restored unto the Lord. And O God, we remember those who cannot be amongst us this evening, some through old age and infirmity, others through sickness. Lord, we pray that thou bless them and be with them wherever they are, and be pleased, Lord, to give them strength and encouragement and draw alongside. And as we desire thy presence here, may they feel and enjoy thy presence also. Lord, remember those who are careless and indifferent, those, O God, who are drifting far away down the broad road that leads to hell. Lord, have mercy on such, we pray. Perhaps, O God, some family members are numbered amongst them. And Lord, we pray that thou would have mercy. O God, show thy face to shine and let it shine upon them, enlightening their way and delivering them from darkness and bringing them into the light and delivering them from the road that takes them down to everlasting destruction. O God, our Father, bless tonight the preaching of thy word. Thank thee for an open Bible, for civil and religious liberty. Thank thee, O God, for our glorious Protestant heritage and our reformed faith. Lord, we realize that down through history, men give their lives in obedience to thy word and in honor of Jesus Christ, so that they might be handed down to succeeding generations, Lord, this liberty that we enjoy. And our Father, tonight, as we're gathered here, we are in remembrance of those who laid down their lives in two great world wars and other conflicts around the world. Lord, we thank thee that they were willing to serve land, country, and king, and queen. And, O God, that others might benefit from their sacrifice. And, O God, our Father, we do pray for our nation at this time. Lord, we lament the downgrade. Lord, we confess that there is so much sin abounding. And, O God, we would pray for our royal family. We would pray for the members of government. O God, how can they seek thy face and thy guidance if they know thee not? And Lord, we pray that thou would convict them of their sin and of the madness of their iniquity. And grant, O God, that they will turn away even from sin and from the legislation that they would foist upon us on this little part of the United Kingdom. O God, in mercy, look down upon us tonight, we pray. O God, we have no strength against this great enemy which has come in amongst us. Lord, the enemy has come in like a flood. And Lord, we have nothing to prevent it. But we pray that thou would lift up the standard of thy word, the standard of Christ, the standard of holiness, the standard of righteousness. O God, our Father, we pray that we'll be pleased to lift up that standard, and we might see the enemy put to flight, and we might see great changes take place, and a return to righteousness and holiness, and the fear of God again in our land. O God, our Father, restore these things to us, we pray. Lord, we pray that thou'd forgive our sin, forgive our iniquity. Lord, help, we cry like the psalmist, For the godly man seems to fade away. And O God, the evil rises, and we cry to thee for help, and we pray that come to our aid and to be our strength and undertake for us. Lord, bless this congregation. Thank thee for the minister. We pray thou bless him, his wife and family. And grant, O God, that as they settle into this charge here in Dromore, thou bless his ministry and the ministry of the congregation in the days which lie ahead, that thou would lengthen their cords and strengthen their stakes, and may the witness go round about to thy glory and to thine honour. Lord, we ask of thee to undertake for us now. Close us in unto thyself. Lord, shut away everything that would distract us. Defeat the devil. Lord, he would want to draw us away from centering our thoughts on Christ, focusing on the Lamb of God. Lord, we ask of thee to destroy every plan of the enemy and enable us to see Christ, to look to him, to enjoy his presence, to thrill in the knowledge that he's amongst us. And grant, O God, that there'll be showers of blessing and the sound of revival amongst us. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Our next hymn is number 69. Yes, number 69. I'll have it in a wee minute. It's number 69, and we're going to stand again while we sing it. And you're singing well, so let's even try and do better still. Number 69, and we'll stand together, please, as we sing it. We turn to the last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and it's the chapter 5, starting to read at verse 1. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Amen. May God be pleased to bless the public reading of his precious infallible word. Just now we're going to have the announcements for the incoming week. I'm going to ask our brother, Mr. Gilbert English, to come please and give to us those announcements. Thank you.
I'd like to give everyone a very warm word of welcome along to our gospel service this evening. If we have any visitors with us, we would give you a special welcome in the Lord's precious name, and trust you'll be blessed as you fellowship with us here today. like also to give a warm welcome this evening to our visiting preacher, the Reverend David Crane. Our brother Crane, he's no stranger to us here. He's been with us on many occasions before. We've always been blessed as he brought the word of the Lord to us. Today, being the second Sunday of the month, is our building fund offering. Then on Thursday night is our Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 p.m. And God willing, the Reverend Foster will be with us on Thursday night. And then on Friday night is the children's meeting at 6:30 p.m. followed by the youth fellowship at 8 p.m. At the youth fellowship, the Reverend Foster will be preaching on the subject of the beauty of purity, addressing the ever-advancing LGBTQ movement and how we are to respond to it as God's people. Maybe you've never been to the youth fellowship. This is a good opportunity to come along and to hear what our brother has to say. Next Lord's Day, our Sunday school and Bible class at 10:15 a.m. Our morning services at 11:30 and 7 p.m. both preceded by half an hour of prayer. Again, the Reverend Foster will be the preacher on both occasions. The Reverend Foster again would like to thank the people for their attendance and support at the week of meetings. It was a good week of meetings, a blessing for God's people, as once again we dealt on the sufferings of our Saviour and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Then, as announced also this morning, there's a 12 nights Bible Lands cruise, Blue Star Bible Tours 20th anniversary trip. It's on the 14th of November 2020. And anyone interested in it, there's leaflets on the table there. And we have the perfect one with us here tonight. If you have any questions, do see our brother, the Reverend Crane. Then Portadown Independent Christian School is having an evening of gospel praise. It's on Saturday the 23rd of November at 7:30 p.m. It's been held in Bethany Free Presbyterian Church in Portadown. There's free admission. The offering is for Portadown Independent Christian School. So if you're that evening free, it'll be a good evening to attend for an evening of praise. These are all the announcements, and they're subject to the mind and the will of the Lord.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank our brother very much for those announcements, and I would personally thank him for his kind and warm words of welcome as I come to Dromore this evening. It's a great joy to be invited to come to speak tonight and to renew fellowship with the folks here in the congregation. I certainly did enjoy my past visits, looking to the Lord again tonight that he will bless us as we meet around his precious and holy word. Thank you, brother, for mentioning the cruise. And if anybody has any interest in that in just about 12 months' time, God willing, I would be glad to help you with any queries you might have. It's entitled Bible Lands Tour, hoping to follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul in not all of the places that he visited and preached at will we be able to call with, but we're hoping to visit as many as we possibly can. It is a cruise, and it'll be full board, and you'll get well looked after on the Royal Caribbean. We're going to have our next hymn, and it will be the offering hymn. It's 595. 595, the sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks, the summer morn I've sighed for, the fair sweet morn awakes. Number 595. We'll keep our seats for the first part as the offering is received. Let's stand, please, and we'll sing verses 4, 5, and 6. Turn again to the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation. And our subject tonight is Behold the Lamb. Simply and plainly, Behold the Lamb. And before we go into the message, We're conscious that again we need help from the Lord. And let's pray for the Lord to bless his word. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for an open Bible. We thank thee for the message of Scripture. We thank thee we have the inspired word of God, the inerrant word of God, this word which cannot be broken and which cannot be destroyed. Men have sought to destroy it down through the years, but Lord, it still exists. It's with us today. We have it in our hand, and we have it here to preach it. And we pray for help and for the anointing of thy Spirit. And we'd ask, O God, to give eye-opening experiences in this meeting tonight, that sinners blinded by sin might be able to see the Lamb and come to him and trust him as their Savior. So, Lord, undertake for us now as we commit ourselves to thee and pray for thy help in Jesus' name. Amen. This last book of the Bible is a glorious revelation of Jesus Christ. One of the most significant ways John reveals Christ is through the many descriptive names and titles that highlight some truth about our Lord's wonderful person and about his glorious perfections. For example, in the opening chapters, we have many names and titles given to us for our Lord. Our Lord Jesus is called the Faithful Witness. He is the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Also, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And he is described in these chapters as the Word of God, the Amen, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, we read in chapter 5, the root of the offspring of David. And he is also called the Bright and Morning Star. He is all these and much more, and every one of them are fitting titles for God's dear Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Having said that, however, predominantly in Revelation, Christ is the Lamb. He's the Lamb. 28 times John directs attention to Christ as the Lamb of God in this book. He is the Lamb, the object of worship, as we read in chapter 5. The object of the worship of his people. They worship the Lamb upon the throne. Christ is on the throne. We might think this world is out of order, out of joint, lost its way. Yes, it has. But in spite of the sins which abound around us and the iniquities which are so blatantly displayed before our eyes, God is still on the throne. Christ reigns, and he's coming back. And praise God, he shall reign forevermore, and none shall be able to stand against him. He is also, in chapter 7, the one who is enthroned, Christ enthroned. And in chapter 13, he's the controller of the book of life. There is such a thing as the book of life. And the Lord Jesus is the one who controls that book. And I wonder tonight if your name is in the book of life. He is the one who is the Lord of hosts upon Mount Zion in chapter 14. And he's the victor over the Antichrist. Antichrist and his influences all around us today, in the ecumenical movement, in the deceptions of false religions, in all the cults of the day. Antichrist is spreading his influence, and all these things are increasing in our day, leading up to that great climax of time when our Lord shall come and every knee shall bow and tongue confess that he is Lord. He's the victor over Antichrist and over the beast. Thank God he's in control. What have I to fear? What have I to dread? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Thank God I have nothing to fear in spite of what's happening in our day. We are resting our all on Christ. He is also the spouse of the glorified bride. There's a day coming when we will all be glorified in heaven. And we are Christ's, as it were, the wife of Christ. And he's our spouse. And we're joined to him in time and for all eternity. And he'll get us home. And he'll take us home. And we'll be home, safe and sound, on the heavenly shore. There's no doubt about that. There is absolutely no doubt about it. Our Savior will see us through. And he'll only see us through, but he'll see us home. Home to our heavenly shore. What a great Savior we have. And praise God, he's the temple in the New Jerusalem. And he's the light of heaven. And they need no light or candle there, because Jesus Christ is the light of heaven. What a place we're going to. And how good it is to behold the Lamb. And to set our gaze on him. And to focus on Christ. Amidst all the darkness that is around us, amidst all the discouragements of the day, we lift our eyes and our hearts heavenward, and we see Jesus, and by faith we look at him until the day we see him face to face, and then we'll see him as he is. That's my hope. And it's the hope of many of you I know in this meeting tonight. It's my hope because there was a day when I was 14 years of age. The Lord saved me. I came as a guilty sinner to Christ. I was born and brought up across the border in County Monaghan. And near the border's edge we lived and farmed, and the Lord brought Faith Mission pilgrims around the border district. And they missioned on both sides of the border. And we followed those missions for many, many months. And I came under conviction of sin. And the Lord showed me I was a sinner. And I needed to be saved. And one day, I was at home. And I went to my bedroom under conviction of sin and didn't really know how to pray, but I cried to the Lord to save me. And the Lord came and saved my soul. And I've been his ever since. And he's not going to leave me. And he's not going to let me down. And he's going to take me home to heaven. I'm nearer home than I ever was before. I'm nearer eternity now than when I first started. That's what the Bible says. Nearer than ever. Friend, we're all nearer eternity. The child of God is nearer heaven. The unsaved are nearer hell. You ever thought of that? Unsaved person, you're nearer hell tonight than you've ever been before. Remember two men in the Bible, Luke chapter 16? One was called Lazarus, and the other was just the rich man. That's all we know about him. Lazarus died. He was near eternity. He died. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, to paradise. The rich man also died. He was nearer eternity than he thought. He died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torment. In torment. Regretting every lost opportunity. Regretting his past life of Christ rejection. In torment. In the burning of the fire of hell. Lost, undone, without God, without Christ, without hope. Forever and ever. And if you die in your sin, dear friend, tonight, you'll be lost too. And in hell, you will lift up your eyes in torment. No matter what they say at your grave, no matter what anybody else might say, God will have the last word, and he'll not be mocked. And therefore, I say to you tonight, seek the Lord while he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near. He's near tonight. He's here. We were praying in the prayer meeting before the service started. Lord, come amongst us. Be present. Be one of our number. I believe God answers prayer. And God is here. And he's here to bless his people. He's here to bless you all. And dear sinner, he wants to bless you with salvation. And backslider, he wants to bless you with the blessing of returning to Christ and resting again in him. Outside of this book of Revelation, the New Testament refers to Christ with this particular title only four times, the Lamb. That's startled me when I found that out. Only four times, and those references all use a different word. John uses the Lamb to designate Christ in his glorious exaltation, but an exaltation that does not separate from his vicarious and atoning sacrifice on the cross. There are three focal points to consider as we behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. First of all, the slain Lamb. The Lord Jesus is the slain Lamb. In John's vision of the heavenly throne here in chapter 5, he sees the Lamb that had been slain, verse 6 of the chapter. A Lamb that had been slain. The tense of the verb is a vivid one and suggests two vital truths about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, it stresses that it is a completed sacrifice. It's a completed act. Jesus died once for all. There is no continuing sacrifice. We don't need the sacrifices offered on false altars by false priests. They are not the Lord's priests, nor are they the Lord's altars. They are man-made priests at the behest of the enemy, the devil. And therefore it's false. Many millions of people tonight relying on false religion to take them to heaven when it leads them downward to destruction and everlasting hell. How sad. Thank God we have the light of gospel truth. We have it before us tonight, and you have it in this church. And you have the privilege of hearing it and learning it. And you have the opportunity of receiving it. How tragic if you neglect it. How tragic if you reject it and despise the very sacrifice of Christ who died on the cross in agonies and in blood. It's finished. It's a completed act. There is no continuing sacrifice. There is no continuing of shedding of blood. The sacrifice is finished. Jesus on the cross emphatically cried out, "It is finished." All the Old Testament sacrifices are over. The Old Testament economy is closed. And every sacrifice in the Old Testament, every lamb, every animal offered, that's finished. They were types and foreshadowings of what was to come. And praise God, they foreshadowed the Lord Jesus and his once for all sacrifice on the cross. The second thing, it has continuing consequences. That's not a contradiction. It is completed, it's finished, but it has continuing consequences. Although the sacrifice is complete, its effects go on and on and on. And the effects of that sacrifice was what saved me when I was 14 years of age. And it's still saving people. The effects of the sacrifice spreading to the ends of the world and to all generations until Jesus comes back. Praise God that his sacrifice is still effective to all who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe tonight? Do you know him? As the hymn writer put it, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Now as we think about this, this sacrifice was planned. It was a planned sacrifice. Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Chapter 13 and verse 8 makes that very plain to us. This far-reaching statement declares that Christ's sacrifice was neither God's afterthought nor even indeed his forethought, but rather his eternal and unfrustratable purpose. It was God's purpose from all eternity to save by the sacrifice of Christ, and he planned it from all eternity. Every lamb in Old Testament sacrifices was an imperfect copy, as I've referred to already, an imperfect copy pointing to the perfect heavenly reality that is in the fullness of time. The Lord Jesus would come and offer himself upon the tree. There is a great purpose in the sacrifice of Christ. It was planned from all eternity. And thank God, Christ came. But this sacrifice is powerful. It's a powerful sacrifice. The blood of the Lamb is the effective cause of salvation. Heaven is and always will be populated with those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's nobody in heaven who has not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if you want to get to heaven, then you must wash in the Savior's blood. And whosoever plunges beneath that flood shall lose every guilty stain. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that flowed on Calvary. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for that. And they sing in heaven, and they cry in heaven, and they shout in heaven, "Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain." That's Christ. "Thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people." Imagine getting to heaven and people from the four corners of the world there. People of every language and every color and every climate and every age in heaven. We'll meet them there. And they're all joined to sing the praises of the Lamb. They're focused on Christ. They're gazing on Him. They're beholding the Lamb. And that's because they beheld Him here on earth before they got to heaven. And if you don't behold Him here, you'll not behold Him in heaven. And although the multitude in heaven exceeds man's ability to count, and that multitude is racially and geographically diverse, all individuals there, every single one of them, have one thing in common. One thing in common. Christ has washed their sin-stained robes in His blood and made them white. That's it. That's the key to heaven. My friend, have you washed your robes in the blood of Christ? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The blood of Christ is powerful. It really and truly saves. The sacrifice was planned. The sacrifice was powerful. But sacrifice is the theme of praise in heaven for all eternity. The throne vision of this chapter 5 describes heaven busy. Heaven's not idle. Heaven's a busy place. The goings to and fro. Heaven busy. Busy with what? Busy with worship. Worshipping the Lamb. Worshipping the Christ of the sacrifice. The angels and the elders, along with all creation, join in choruses of praise to the Lamb because of His infinite worth, His infinite power and His riches and glory and wisdom, and particularly because He ransomed His people by His blood. What cause or causes for rejoicing in heaven? What a place it's going to be. One day we'll be there, those who are saved. And since praise of Christ is the occupation of heaven for all eternity, it is only logical then that He should receive the prominence of praise and worship down here as well, in our church services, in our daily Bible readings, in our family altar as we gather together around the Word and around the throne of grace. The Lord should be praised. We should rejoice in Him all the days of our lives, in spite of the distractions There are so many around us. In spite of the works of the devil, in spite of the ongoing sin spread around the world, thank God we as God's children should be occupied and taken up with praising God and worshipping Him in our lives day by day. One day we will join the heavenly chorus and we'll sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. They're not two songs, by the way, they're the same song. It's just called the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb. And they're singing, and they sing the Song of Moses, chapter 15 tells us, the servant of God, and they sing of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." That's the Lamb, that's Christ. Moses is not King of saints. It's the Lamb. And praise God, one day we'll join that chorus and exalt the Lord Jesus. Not only have we the slain Lamb, but there's the sovereign Lamb who is before us tonight. The throne vision of chapter 5 describes the slain Lamb as having, in verse 6, seven horns. You'll see that for yourself. And throughout Scripture, the horn is a figure of speech. A figure of speech denoting or designating power. The horn denotes power. And Scripture, and particularly in the book of Revelation, also uses the number 7 to designate totality or completeness. And he has 7 horns, so he has total power. He has complete power. He is sovereign over every other power. Jesus Christ is King of kings and he's Lord of lords. Make no mistake about that. He shall reign forever and forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lamb upon the throne. He's the sovereign Lamb who will reign forever and ever. And all kingdoms of this world shall be put under his feet. And all kings and rulers shall be put under his feet. And every one of them shall bow at his at the knee at him. And they will confess, many of them far too late, when they're going down into the pit, they'll be crying, "Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's master over Nero. He's master over Hitler. He's master over all the dictators of the earth." And praise God, one day, every one of these will bow the knee. Have you bowed the knee? Bow your heart. As the sovereign Lamb, he is the good and faithful ruler of his people. Keep that in mind, child of God, in these evil days. He is the ruler of his people. And he speaks in this book of Revelation as such, the Lamb, the ruler of his people. And though the people in the context of Revelation here traveled through great tribulation, and they did, the Lord never abandoned them. The Lord never forsook them. The Lord never left them. He always supplied their needs, and he faithfully led them to the full experience of the joys of salvation. And in spite of their great tribulation, they never wanted. They were never weary. And in spite of earthly tears, their souls rested in the Lord. The Lord always moves his people to a perfect end. Whether they're smooth or rough, the pathway, he moves us to a perfect end. He moves us to that end, and his presence is always near us. And his good sovereignty is always reason for peace in our hearts, for the knowledge of knowing that our times are in his hand. Do you rest there tonight as God's child? Do you trust him, whatever betide? Do you acknowledge him as ruler? And then, he is also the infallible judge of sinners. He's the sovereign lamb, the powerful lamb. The lamb is as powerful in judgment as he is in salvation. You ever think of that? Revelation chapter 14 reveals Christ to be the object of praise to his people, but also the agent of wrath to sinners. While he's the object of praise for his people, he's the agent of wrath for unsaved sinners. That's the dividing line. And that's the truth of Scripture. Revelation paints the tragic scene in chapter 6 of those trying in vain to escape the wrath of the Lamb. And Revelation 21 makes it wonderfully, yet terribly clear that he makes no mistake in discriminating between his and those who are not his. He will never make a mistake between those who are his and those who are not. And there'll be no chance of any mistake being made that you getting into heaven by defraud or by mistake. The Lord knows them that are his. And the Lord knows those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And only those whose names are in that book will be in heaven. And the Lamb knows that. This sovereign Lamb knows that. And he knows your name's not there. And he knows about you tonight, your situation. And he's also the conquering king over his enemies, this sovereign Lamb. Christ is indeed the mighty conqueror. Although these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, the Bible tells us, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And although all the forces of Antichrist are against him, thank God, he overcomes them all. All the forces of hell are against him. He overcomes them all. All the forces of this world are against him. He overcomes them all. And all the forces of Antichrist, of hell, and of this world are against you, dear Christian friend. Your Savior has overcome them all. And he's overcome them for you. And he's your conqueror. And we rest on him. And in his name, we go forward. Let us trust him tonight. Let us follow him. Let us behold the Lamb. And as I close, dear child of God tonight, take courage. Let him renew your step. Renew your courage. Let him fill you with fire, faith, and fight, so that you might fight the Lord's battles and be true to him. Come with me, knowing that he'll give you victory over every enemy and at last bring you home to glory. Unsaved friend tonight, be warned. Be warned. The wrath of this Lamb will be against you. And great will be the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the one who gave himself in sacrifice, in love and in tenderness and in compassion for guilty sinners. But if you reject him, you'll not experience that tender forgiveness, but the wrath of the Lamb for all eternity. Oh, I pray tonight that you'll be wise. Turn away from your sin. Repent of it. Receive Christ and trust him now. He will save you, and he'll save you right now. We're going to sing a great hymn in closing. It's number 58. I learned this hymn at the time I got saved, and I loved it ever since. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. That Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given, it scatters all their guilty fear, it turns their hell to heaven. Look at the last verse. His only righteousness I show, his saving truth proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name, preach him to all, and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. Let's stand while we sing it. As we close, if there's someone present and you've never been to Christ, you don't know him, God has spoken, your heart is disturbed, you're under conviction, don't put it off. If we can help you in any way, We invite you to stay behind as others leave. We'll be glad to point you to Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Gracious God and Father, we thank thee again for thy precious word. O God, write it on every heart. Bring sinners now to know Christ. Restore the backslider. And Lord, encourage thy people. Even encourage them to greater heights with thyself. And lift us closer to thee. Part us with thy blessing now. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich may be our portion now and always. Amen.